Get ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo. Chris Aceto. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio. Watch
out! This is Miss Figure Olympia, Aaron Stern. You're listening to RxMuscle.com, the best coverage for bodybuilding, fitness, figure, and bikini on the net.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined, as always, by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It is August 29th, 2011. As I call it, end of days, Chris, the end of summer, and we are still here in Phoenix, Arizona after the IFBB Phoenix Pro Show and the Bros vs. Pros 8 Squat to the Drop Challenge. We're here at the Marriott, right?
Marriott Hotel, unbelievable weekend, busy weekend. We had the men's pro show, the bikini, the figure, unbelievably successful Bros vs. Pros, which we'll get into, and the weather has been just sweltering hot. Global warming is real right here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, they said that it was a mild weekend. It was only 115, but it had been 117 last week, but I felt like it was 117 today for sure.
It was, I mean, everyone we spoke to, you know, has been flabbergasted, you know, with how hot it has been. And, you know, it may have contributed to the level of conditioning of the men's show, because a lot of the guys were in good shape. Maybe they were sweating like crazy up there. And
well, the
had some impact.
Name of the hour, or I guess of the week, would be the weather. You know, usually I don't like to talk about the weather because it's kind of such a trite, contrived thing to talk about. Yeah. Oh, how was the weather out there where you are?
Pretty nice.
Well, we're both in the same place. But the weather has really been in the news because back in New York on the East Coast, they were bracing for Hurricane Irene that I don't think ever made it up there as Hurricane Irene. You know, it's funny, but we've talked about this before. These newscasters, especially the New York newscasters, they love terrible weather. They love any tragedies. They talked about the weather for like 5 days straight, nonstop. You would think Armageddon was coming into the New York area. They evacuated Lower Manhattan. They evacuated everyone south of Merrick Road, where I lived. It wasn't even a voluntary. It was a mandatory evacuation. Poor Jeff, the producer, had to take my dogs and had to stay in the warehouse for the whole weekend. That's how serious it was. And when all was said and done, Chris, all I lost was some goldfish out of my backyard pond. My house did not get flooded. Thank God, knock on wood. I didn't even lose electricity. And they had evacuations. Do you know how much business must have lost the course of those 3 days?
I'm sure unemployment probably went, another 0.5% or something. Yeah. GDP went down. The weatherman made people panic so much, even Michael Bloomberg felt compelled to force people to evacuate. Imagine if he didn't, and like,
how many people live in Lower Manhattan?
Yeah, I think it was 370,000 people had to evacuate.
I think a couple million people.
Where did they go?
That's a good question. I know people that drove like back to Detroit, where they live.
We got to get Jesse the Body on to talk about conspiracy theories and weatherman. And
you know, it's interesting, but My whole philosophy was, you know, what the hell? Like, I live on the water, so you can't get any more south than I was. So if something was going to happen, it was going to happen to my house. Now, knowing that these storms have happened in the past, the new houses, my house being one of them, is built up 6 feet higher than sea level, which is smart. So, I mean, you have to have a surging. And they were saying that the tide was going to go up 20 feet. Do you know what 20 feet is? 20 feet is like it would have been wiped out of all of Long Island. And, you know, I guess they have in New York City, they have these pumps that pump the water out and they said the pumps won't be able to handle it. And nothing happened, basically. Like I said, I lost about 25 goldfish that have been. It's funny because I have these goldfish ponds and I always put the little babies in because I'm too cheap to buy the big ones. Mm-hmm. And I'm smart because I know that it's on a cycle. Every 5 years, the tide comes up and washes my backyard away and all the goldfish go out to sea. And as one of the people that I'm friends with said to me, she's like, oh, they'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Problem is, obviously, goldfish are not saltwater fish. So they probably were shark bait or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I have not been home yet, obviously, but I hear the house is okay.
Well, it's just been crazy weather. I think that's people are on edge from, you know, the earthquake in Japan and then the tsunami
in New York
in New York and that's right, in D.C. a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago, followed by Hurricane Irene. I mean, just, you know, people are jumpy.
You know, it's interesting, though, also, but poor Jeff, the producer, you know, was stuck at home. He had to live in the warehouse, and people were saying, oh, did you feel, it must have been terrible, he had to live in the warehouse. I said, Jeff drinks 10 protein shakes a day.
My warehouse is,
they're all the protein. Yeah. So he was probably fine. He probably just hooked a catheter up to his penis and just kept drinking shakes and peed it right out, you know, so he wouldn't have to get up or anything like that. But I'll find out the true story from him when we get back tomorrow night. Now, before we talk about the Phoenix Pro Weekend, which we have a lot to talk about, obviously, I want to just mention something to you. You know, this weekend I was getting texts from a lot of people who were concerned whether I was evacuating and if my house was going to be okay. Actually, more people were concerned about my dogs than myself. Everyone was volunteering to take them off my hands, and you know, because they're cute little dogs and everything like that. But I've come to the conclusion that there's two types of text messages. People who should be text messaging. I consider myself in one of those categories. You're probably in that category too, meaning that you can convey what you want to say in a very short amount of time, and you can text it to me, and it does not require a lot of reading.
Efficiency of words.
Right. Then there's the people that should not be text messaging, the people who text paragraphs. They're so long, the paragraphs, that they go into one, two, three, part one, part two, part three, part four texts. And I have a friend, Justin Miller, and if he's listening, he knows that he's an over-texter.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple other people that are over texters, and they have trouble conveying what they're saying. If you cannot convey what you're saying in 8 words or less, you should not be allowed to text. You should be mandatory required to make phone calls.
Texting to me is like modern day Morse code.
That's exactly
what
it is.
You know what I mean? It's just like, right. You know, real quick, you know, okay, you know.
Meet me here, see you tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. Versus, you know, it's not meant to write paragraphs and stories.
Right, right.
And I don't want to receive paragraphs and stories, and I don't want to send paragraphs and stories.
You know, check out MD, they're bashing us again. In the story. You don't have to explain the whole thing to me. I'll figure it out myself.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much. So I want to make a new rule for anyone out there who listens who happens to text message me. If you cannot text message me in 8 words or less, call me, please. I'd rather talk to you on the phone. I guess, you know what, to me, you give me anxiety. And when I get anxiety, I don't want to answer. And then you think I'm neglecting you. But if you send me text messages that are more than 8 words, I will not respond. I'm just telling you right off the bat. So think about what you want to say. Be concise. And if you can't do that, you know, pick up the phone. I have no problem answering the phone. Now let's talk about, I guess let's start with the Phoenix Pro Show. Because that, actually, let's not start with the Phoenix Pro. Let's go chronologically. Friday night, we had the Hooters Wing Bowl Eating Championships at Hooters Restaurant in here in, I believe it was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sponsored by Hydralyzed Ultra Water, which is Jack and Antoni's water company.
I had about 30 of those today, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, you know, it was so hot here in Phoenix that This is a good idea of how what a great hydrating product it is. You drink the stuff and you don't pee because you sweat out all the water instead.
It's absolutely true.
And you know what's good about sweating? When you sweat water out, you're actually releasing a lot of toxins because the skin is has such a large surface area. You can get rid of toxins much quicker through the skin than you can through peeing or urination. And that's the whole concept behind this ozone sauna that, you know, I was telling you about that.
That's right.
When I have it up and working, I'm going to get you down to New York. We're going to give you the whole ozone treatment.
Well, we can go in that. Do you have the little encapsulated thing? It tells you, you can go in and it tells the bodybuilder exactly how many weeks out there based on the body fat.
It's called the pod or something like that. I've seen that at the Powerhouse Gym in Tampa, Florida. They also had one at the Metroflex gym here in Phoenix, Arizona.
But the one you have is going to tell you exactly how many weeks you are out from a show.
No, mine is just going to just flush toxins through. But the pod body fat analysis is interesting because I don't think any of those things are accurate, to be honest with you. But Amit Sapir was at the gym.
That's right. He was
We're off subject already.
We are ready.
Let's talk about it since you brought it up. Amit Sapir, IFBB pro from Israel, used to help when he was an amateur.
When he won Mr. Israel.
Right, a couple times. He is going to be entering the 202 Olympia. Qualified, I think, was it Canada?
In the Canada show, he got third. Yep.
Yes.
Canada 202.
He is now living in Phoenix, working at the Metroflex in Phoenix, Arizona.
And when we came in, he was inside this pod, and you could only see a head sticking out.
But we got him before he got in there, I think, didn't we? Did he just get out?
No, I think he was just getting out, and I said, what is that thing there? It was the pod.
And what did I say to you?
And you said, he's going to come out, and he's going to say, the pod's going to say he's 8%. And
body fat.
8% body fat. And Amit is going to say, there's got to be something wrong with that pod.
And what did he say?
He came out and he said, it says I'm 7%. There's got to be something wrong with that pod.
I knew it. So I offered to admit that the problem with the pod is it still does ask you for height and weight. But, Amit could lose a few more pounds. Yeah. He's got 2.5 weeks. Yeah. So, I guess he's going to have to lower his carbs probably.
Yeah, and increase his cardio.
That's right, right.
That's the only way it's going to get
down. He's a high carb guy?
Well, if he's 8% with 2.5 weeks to go, apparently
he is. Isn't Branch Warren helping him?
Yeah, the high carb guy.
I didn't even know Branch Warren dieted people for shows.
Well, it's like a, one big circle. Oh. You know what I mean? You know how it is.
One big circle.
Yeah, because, sometimes I'll be helping someone, and then that person may be helping someone else, and that I'll run into that someone else, and they'll say, hey, I'm doing your diet. And I'll say, what type of diet?
Oh, because they got it from the person.
Yeah. So they got it.
So George is doing Branch's diet. Doing Amit's diet. Yeah. And Amit's probably doing someone's diet down the road, right? And then it might come back
to you. Yeah, he is, because his business cards were right there.
Oh, he's working at the gym. That's right.
Yeah, so...
Beautiful, Jim. We're going to get back to that. Let's go back to Hooters, okay?
Yeah,
we have this wing eating contest, and obviously if anyone wants to see the results of it with the video, it's complete and up online already at rxmuscle.com. The winner of the contest was someone that we never expected. We didn't even know. Vinny from the board.
Yeah.
Some guy who lives locally came in there and said, look, I'm entering the contest. I had it open to anyone who wanted to. You had to eat 30 wings as fast as you could. Vinny and Big J won head-to-head, very close battle. Big J won actually finished his plate of wings before Vinny, but left some meat on them and had to clean them up and didn't finish his cleanup before Vinny finished his. Vinny wins the $100, the lifetime supply of hydrolyzed ultra water. I think it's only a year's supply of hydrolyzed ultra water. And he goes down as the first wing-eating champion at Hooters. And I got to tell you, when these guys were all done, because most of the people who were in the contest, Pete the intern, Jack the Tony was talking a lot of smack. All these guys, Gail Auerbach, they didn't finish half their wings, so I wound up eating their wings afterwards, which I found were really good. I was surprised I hadn't ever had a Hooters wing, and I liked them.
Well, Nola had her first wing ever.
Yeah, she never had a wing.
Never had a wing.
I've eaten a wing, but just not a Hooters wing.
Yeah.
But the thing I was really more interested in than the whole contest, and if you guys, like I say, you want to see the eating contest, we got some great pictures that Bill Comstock took. Big J One is really involved in his eating. I mean, you can see the grease coming out of his face, the sweat.
He's hardcore.
He is the epitome of passion for eating. And if you want to see some great pictures, you can look at Comstock's pictures up on the site, and you can watch the video, of course. But what was more interesting to me was the women at Hooters. Now, usually, when I go into Hooters in New York, and I don't know if this is the case up by you in Maine, I don't even know if they have
Hooters. They don't have Hooters in Maine. We're almost Quebec.
They just have strip clubs up there. Yeah. No, but when I went to Hooters here in New York before, the girls are always like real sloppy looking, and they're really not. They're usually older. The women at Hooters were unbelievable looking. They were all young, beautiful, in good shape. I don't know if they worked out, but they looked like they worked out.
Yeah.
And they were very cooperative, and they played along with all the games that we were doing there. And I got to say, I'm impressed. Now, the only other Hooters I've ever been to, and I'm not a big Hooters place. I don't go to Hooters like very often. When I went to Hooters in New Hampshire, believe it or not, they had some pretty good-looking girls. Now, I'm wondering if the smaller areas have, like, that's more of a popular place for beautiful women to work, as opposed to, like, in New York, they just go right to Scores. You know,
They have choices.
I'm going to either be a cocktail waitress in a club, or I'm going to be a stripper.
Because the Hooters in New Hampshire is probably, like, prestigious thing to, you know what I mean?
It's a prestigious job.
I mean, it's, versus if you got to kill a body and you're living in New York, you're not going to go work, at a Hooters.
It's like the scene, I don't know if you ever saw the Woody Allen movie Manhattan.
Of course.
Okay, so Woody Allen is on a date with Marielle Hemingway.
Yeah.
Or so. No, I think it was Manhattan. He was on a date with someone, a young girl, and she's like, I can't respect you anymore because I don't know what he did. And, meanwhile, he's a writer. And he's like, respect me? He goes, you're a cocktail waitress.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite lines. Yeah. You have a lot of respect for the cocktail waitress. So, but Hooters put on a great show for us. They really rolled out the red carpet. We got Pete the intern in there eating. We got Gail Auerbach, the Yards girl editor in chief, eating. And I had a great time. You weren't there, so you're going to have to watch the video and see what happened. I know you were with Derek Farnsworth.
I was with Farnsworth getting beat up.
Who was working on you. He worked on me today a little bit.
Yes, he did.
The guy is, I got to be honest with you.
I've been saying this.
I've had a lot of ART guys, active release technique guys, and he might be one of the best. My good friend Darlin Cash is excellent too, but Farnsworth's got a different technique. He's a little more violent about it.
He's very violent, and if you go like, "Oh, that hurts,"
he likes it. He gets crazy. He gets an erection.
He worked on me, and I'm dead serious. His forearms, when I get up, they were so pumped. They were the width of his head. That's how like pumped up he was, with veins everywhere. So he gets into it, and he knows what he's doing.
He was working on Mike Van Wyck, the IFBB pro who represented the pros at Bros vs. Pros 8, and I was worried for him. I got to be honest with you. I said to him, "You sure you should be working on him before he squats?" Because I was afraid he was going to hurt him, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, "No, I'm just stretching him out." So not only can Derek, you know, get in there and really work the muscle from a standpoint of recovery, but he can also help you stretch and make you looser as well. Unfortunately, he didn't make him loose enough because he was defeated.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that right now. The Bros vs. Pro squats you dropped took place on Sunday. We'll go back to the Phoenix Pro in a second. At the Metroflex Gym in Phoenix, Arizona, Josh Barnett's new gym. It's so new that they just got the, certificate of occupancy the day before the event occurred, which is a good thing. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had the event there. And I got to tell you, he really put together a beautiful gym. It actually almost looks a lot like the original Metroflex in Arlington, Texas, something that a lot of the other Metroflexes don't do. A lot of times they're much bigger, they're more spacious. This gym has a feel for it very similar to Brian's, although he does have some air conditioning in there.
Well, it's certainly hardcore. By the members who were there today and the people who attended today, it was packed. It was wall to wall people from the minute we were there to the minute we left.
Stryker Solomon came in, who's the promoter of the Phoenix Pro, and he actually made a joke, which wasn't really true, but he said, "It looks like you guys have more people here than I had at my show on Saturday night."
Yeah, I think at one point we did an unofficial headcount and there were almost 400 people in that gym.
Yeah, and that place was not that big. So, but more impressive about the amount of people were there were the celebrities in the house. We had Marcus Haley there, IFBB pro. IFBB pro Troy Alves, right, fresh off his Phoenix Pro.
He was in the front row judging, and he was
he had the Spike Lee seats thought he was in the Lakers.
You know what? People don't know. People who don't know what Bros versus Pros is, they don't know the energy that goes into it, because I guarantee Troy, myself included, and I saw Marcus Haley and a lot of the other pros, people were going nuts cheering for some of the competitors.
Marcus was screaming.
Marcus was going nuts. I said, we got to get a video on Marcus.
Footage, yeah.
And because you get caught up in it. It's a real competition where you think that people who are going to get crushed, you think, okay, this girl is going to do nothing,
right,
end up blowing your mind, not impressing you, blowing your mind in what they achieve, and you get caught up in it like any other sporting event, and you get into it, and the audience gets into it, and it's an energetic time, and what a way to christen a new gym.
Oh yeah, I mean, Josh Barnett was thrilled with the turnout. Not only was those pros there, IFBB pro Mike Morris, who hasn't competed,
that's right,
has been retired. He lives right down the block. He came in,
yeah, he
didn't
was
even
there.
Know we were going to be there. I haven't seen him. I was good friends with him back in the day. It was nice to see him. Dennis James came in, IFBB pro, and George Farah.
Yeah.
Was he the pro maker or the pro creator? Pro maker, right?
Pro PM, Pro Maker.
He's the Pro Maker. Yeah. He was in there.
Yeah.
I saw John Enrico Pica, who was supposed to compete in the show last night. He had a sore throat, right?
Yeah.
He was there. Obviously, we mentioned that Mitt Sapir was there.
Mitt.
Obviously, we had a lot of women IFBB pros in the house. Ann Titone, who was there, obviously representing Hydrolyzed Ultra. We had a few IFBB pro women in the event. Janet Kaufman, who just won her pro card at the Masters Nationals. Michaela Soto, who we're going to talk about a little bit. She was in the figure event the night before. Anyone would think that she would come and compete the day after. Most girls you ask, most guys would say, no freaking way. I just competed. I'm eating and relaxing.
Well, there's some real prize money to be won, too.
$2,000 up for grabs for the Bros vs. Pros men 405-pound squat for reps competition, which was won by Frank Nesdoba.
And record, was that a record breaking?
He broke the record previously held by Jose Raymond. Jose Raymond had done 30 reps with 405.
When you told me that he did 30 reps with 405, see, this is an example of Bros versus Pros. I said, what's the record? Because people were getting up there and knocking out 405. And you said, Jose Raymond has it for 30. And I, right out of my mouth, I said, well, no one's going to beat that. Next guy up was Frank, and he beat it by one.
And let's just mention, for some of the listeners out there who might not know what we're talking about, Bros vs. Pros was my brainchild, really. And it was something that I felt that whenever I would go to gyms and train over the last 15 years or 20 years that I've been working out, there was always those guys in the gym that would, you know, be those bragging about the lifts that they can do, and you would be amazed at how strong they were or how much endurance they had. But these are guys that you never saw on stage, or they never competed, but they always were bragging in the gym. And I said, wouldn't it be great if you can get these fucking guys who think that they're the greatest lifters of all time and pit them up against real IFBB pro bodybuilders to see how good they really are against the best in the business.
It's like a pro-am.
Right. So that's what I did. We took an IFBB pro, we pit him against the regular gym, quote, bros, and we put $2,000 up to see who's going to win the first place prize. And you know what? If you win, you get bragging rights. And I got news for you. Frank Nesdoba has got bragging rights over the pros. He defeated Mike Van Wyck, who wound up coming in, I believe, third place, right, with 25 reps or something like that.
Yeah, and he can also brag
24 reps.
Yeah, and he can brag that he's got the you know, the new record over a pro, over Jose Raymond.
Sure. And you know, 31 repetitions is something that you guys are going to have to watch the video to really experience for yourself. Although Frank makes it look easy, but you saw firsthand, and I had seen it before at the last one we did, when you hit the 24 mark, if you could even get to the 24 mark, it's like you want to just, your heart wants to explode.
Yeah. You called it. You told me that most of these guys, if they can make it to 23 or 24, that's like the wall. And people would get up to, like, you know, they do rep 18, 19, 20, and for sure you think they'll make it. They got, you know, another 10 in them. The minute they hit 23, 24, it's like lactic acid, you know, volcano.
Yeah.
And they toast.
Now, Sean Bellin did 25 reps, and he was saying, he predicting he was going to do 35 reps here. Now, I always tell people, it's a big difference from what you're doing in the gym practicing, and Derek Farnsworth, who was there.
Yes, he pointed that out.
He also confirmed that as well, because he's going to probably do our next challenge. He obviously is taking it easy. He just competed 2 weeks ago. He didn't want to get hurt or anything like that. But he said that, you know, you do stuff in the gym, it's a lot easier because you don't have pressure on you. You don't wait around.
You don't have people looking at you, he said. You know, you can do your own focus, your own thing. You get into your own mode.
Right.
Where here you got 400 people staring at you.
Right. So Sean, I'm sure, I know we'll be back, as a matter of fact, because he told me he's a better deadlifter than he is squatter, and we're going to have the deadlift challenge in December at Jacked Hardcore Gym in Chicago, and we're going to have a lot of repeat champions. But so the Bros vs. Pros, man, was very exciting. When you guys watch the video, you're going to really get off on it, but I want to just congratulate Frank Nesdoba, 31 repetitions, new record for Bros vs. Pros. Sean Bellin, congratulations on second place. Sean got a year supply of hydrolyzed ultra water, and all the competitors got some gift certificates from Precision Peptides. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Marcus Haley, one of the owners of Precision Peptides, there representing, and he was obviously very impressed with what we were doing there. Now, the second event we had there of the day was something that used to be called the women's event, but it's not the women's anymore. Now it's called the two-event medley. It's two lifts, and men and women compete against each other, but we give the women a handicap because obviously men by nature are a little stronger, and the women had to do the squat with 80% of their body weight. The men had to do 100% of their body weight for reps. The women had to curl 40% of their body weight for reps, the men 50%. And then what we did was we took the total number of reps for both competitions, and whoever had the greatest number would win. Ironically, and there were men in this event, three women came in the top three places in a very, very closely contested battle that you and I could never in a million years have predicted.
No way.
IFBB pro Janet Kaufman might have been considered the favorite because she hadn't competed since the Masters Nationals. She had a little rest. If you were going to pick someone that could possibly be a Santa, she could have been it.
Well, she was the favorite to me not knowing who the field was, basically, because when she came in and the way she looked, she's popping all over the place. She's in great condition. She's got lots of muscle. You'd say, okay, who's going to beat Janet?
And she's over 45 years old.
Yeah, and she don't look it, you know. And so, you know, my natural inclination was to say nobody's going to beat this lady.
And she did, I believe, 70 reps in the squat with 80% of her body weight.
Amazing. 70. Not 17. 70. Not 27. 70. I sound like Ron Popeil. Not 37. Not 47. 70.
It was incredible. And, you know, before she did that, Nola Trimble, okay, who has a show in 1 week or 5 days from now, the North American Championship. She's been dieting for 8 months already. Yep. And she's done a couple before that. I didn't even think that she was going to get 12. You and I thought she was going to, she was repositioning herself on the squat. We thought that it was all over for her.
I felt embarrassed for her. Yes. I thought she was going to get 10.
And she cranked out 55 reps.
It's unbelievable. The pace in which she did it, it was like a snail.
Right.
But the she
never stopped.
She did, you know what? She just wrapped her mind into the idea of I'm going to shoot for 70.
Well, I told her, I think I told her before the event, you have no chance of winning, and I think that pissed her off. And she's a girl who lived in Iraq for a year as a firefighter with all that heavy equipment on, so the heat really didn't bother her.
Yeah, it didn't handicap her.
So you and I say, okay, here we see Janet Kaufman beat Nola in the first event, 70 reps to Nola's 55. And who comes up the last competitor of the day, IFBB Pro Figure competitor who competed the day before, Michaela Soto, who you were very, probably too muscular for the judges' likes, but sick physique, without a doubt.
Sick.
And
fabulous.
You, talking about sick, you and I didn't even realize she almost died 14 weeks earlier. She had fluid in her lungs that led to several mini heart attacks, and they said that she would never lift again.
It's, I mean, that's worth repeating. It's, you know, she told that to me because I saw her at the Species booth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times I don't say, you know, you look great to people, you know, because a lot of people look great, and sometimes athletes take it as like, you know, you could be condescending, and maybe you say it to everyone. And I saw her, and I said, you know, you looked really good. And I was standing there with the judge, who also, you know, said, she looked really good and got, you know, could have placed a lot higher. And then, you know, next thing out of her mouth was, well, you know, I almost died, of, you know, not too long ago. And I, you know, can you say that again?
And it was 14 weeks ago. Yes. That was a very short while ago.
And so,
you saw those pictures online of her. She looked like she was
in the hospital.
Bed. Yeah.
And then here she is the next day.
Yeah, after her show.
After the show, showing up for the... Here she is. You take it from here, the squat contest. Tell her, you know...
Well, first of all, she gets under the bar.
We have it on video.
Yeah, so. You'll see this. She was screaming on top of her lungs,
you
trying
have
to get the crowd psyched up.
And they went nuts.
Yeah, and you and I are thinking now, all right, she's probably just doing this for show to help me out because she works
her
booth.
She'll get 10.
She'll get
10
reps. And she's got the crowd screaming, and she's screaming, and woo, and doing all
looks
kinds
like
of
an act.
Stuff.
Looks like an act.
And she's screaming while she's squatting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the freak is going on here?
Over and over screaming.
And I'm thinking, Chris, why is she's cost herself at least 20 reps.
What she was doing in retro, I mean, which I'm might be getting ahead of us a little bit, is she was psyching herself up. She was celebrating that she's living.
Yeah.
And she was using her self-generated energy to be able to just blow out this competition in the squat.
And you know what? This competition is about heart. The people with the most heart usually win because everyone is hurting. It hurts everyone just as much. It's just some people can withstand the pain. She withstood so much pain that she went 72 reps. Put herself in the
72
lead.
With
72. Put herself in the lead, which made her the last to go in the curl competition. She needed to do 56 reps in the curl. After Nola posted, I think, the winning total, what, she get 70 or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Nola Trimble posted 70 reps in the curl, which was maybe one of the more impressive lifts of the whole show because she was repositioning her hands. And, I mean, she was playing with her elbows. I didn't, once again, she took her about 20 minutes to do one set of it. Janet Kaufman just barely did enough to inch ahead of Nola for second. And then Michaela Soto comes in. Not only does she do 50, she does 60-something reps, and she puts it away, screams on top of
the this time she came with the she came out in the curl competition just focused, no more screaming and having fun. She was here to win and put it away.
Well, she screamed
was
like, at the end.
She won. She went nuts.
All the people in attendance went crazy. Yeah. She won over the crowd.
She won. You know, going back a little bit, that's when she was doing the squat, and we realized, the audience realized that she was here to bang out 70-something reps and try to win this thing. When we thought it was just kind of like a little charade joke that she was putting on, that's when, I mean, I was cheering her on, you were cheering her on, the audience were cheering her on, Marcus Haley was going nuts, Troy was like, you know, flabbergasted.
Even
like,
Farnsworth got
involved. Yeah, Farnsworth was
going nuts. He got invested. He got emotionally invested because he couldn't believe what he was watching.
You had to. And I mean, people, you got to see it on the site because it's a sight to behold. It's fun. and the story behind it, that this lady was, you know, this girl was almost dead less than 14 weeks ago, is just mind-numbing.
Great comeback story.
Yeah, and then her interview with you after, you know.
Tears.
It was real tears.
So, guys, you won't want to miss that. Look, we got to take a commercial break. When we come back, more from Phoenix, Arizona.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
VPX Creatine Plasma is 100% creatine monohydrate in an ultra-fast, non-bloating liquid delivery system. Did I just say liquid? Yes, I did. And the very same scientific mechanism that keeps VPX Creatine Plasma water-stable may also prevent it from sitting in your stomach and causing water retention. And since it's liquid, there is less digestive degradation, making less more effective. New VPX Creatine Plasma is exactly what you've been looking for. Get VPX Creatine Plasma now and get all the proven benefits of creatine with no upset stomach, no bloating, and no water retention. Short of getting it for free, what else could you possibly want? Get yours today.
Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimum Nutrition, Gasparri, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or Metabolic Nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of BSN products and receive a BSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now. Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
Isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old school hand grips and rigid pull down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
Shaker Pro has designed the most innovative shaker in the fitness and bodybuilding world. Shaker Pro is the only shaker where the powder and liquid are stored separately and mixed together at the exact moment you desire. Mixing occurs in the closed Shaker Pro system. That means no more mess, just a perfect shake guaranteed.
preparation takes place anytime, anywhere, in the car, at work, or in the locker room. No need to transport separate ingredients with you. The Shaker Pro is an all-in-one solution for everyone with an active lifestyle. The patented Shaker Pro chamber system guarantees that the mixing and blending of the ingredients will always produce a perfect shake every time. Simply twist, shake, and enjoy. Find out more about the Shaker Pro at 4sportlife.com. That's the number 4sportlife.com.
From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years with a unique combo of style, fit, and bling. CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler, and being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find her latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new men's physique division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits. It's where the pros go.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Pro Bodybuilding and Pro Figure is coming to India. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th in Mumbai, India. Featuring Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. Jay's only competitive bodybuilding show outside of the Mr. Olympia contest. Plus, all your favorite bodybuilders and figure athletes. Phil Heath, Branch Warren, Kai Green, Victor Martinez, Miss Figure Olympia Erin Stern, Nicole Wilkins, Cheryl Brown, Candace Keene, Courtney Brown, and so many more. Come be a part of history by attending the Cheryl Classic, the first pro show in Asia and the third biggest bodybuilding competition in the world with $150,000 in prize money. The 2011 Cheryl Classic, September 24th and 25th. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit CherylClassic.com. Come meet your favorite competitors at the Cheryl Classic Expo and after party. Don't miss out on your chance to be a part of history. The 2011 Cheryl Classic. Visit CherylClassic.com.
Amp up your workout wardrobe with Physique Bodywear. Over 20 years of experience and over 300 styles to choose from and made in America. Visit PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com now and get fast shipping for all of your clothes. Tee tops, tank tops, posing suits, muscle shirts, workout pants and shorts, and so much more. And don't worry about size. We've got all you hardcore freaks fully covered. Affordable prices, fast delivery with same day shipping. And if you order now, make sure to mention RXMuscle.com and save 10% off your first order. Call Physique Bodywear now at 845-473-4832 or order online at PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com. Physique Bodywear. We don't build champions, we dress them.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry, Adela Garcia, Jenny Lynn, Crystal Richardson, who are the Dark Divas, Gina Aliotti as Diva X, Jen Gates as Shade, Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus, Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress, and their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind, limited-edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo here with Chris, the technician, Aceto, and we are calling in once again from the Marriott Hotel in Phoenix, Arizona. We're about to talk a little bit about the Phoenix Pro Show that took place this past weekend, promoted by Striker Solomon once again, and successful show. I think, Chris, and I haven't counted the official numbers, but I think that this might be the show with the most competitors of any show of the entire year, believe it or not. Because remember, the Arnold might be a bigger show, but it's by imitation, so there's only like 12 people per division. He had three divisions here, and they were like almost 30 people deep in the figure and 30 people deep in the men's bodybuilding, and he had about 18 or 20 bikini competitors. That's a lot of pro competitors out there.
Yeah, you know, like I said in the wrap-up, I didn't expect, you know, sometimes you come to these shows and you don't know how many people, competitors are going to be in the show. And, you know, there was a huge turnout in the figure, a big turnout in the bikini. And, of course, the men's turnout there was a lot of depth. This was a show with a lot of depth. You know, a lot of the competitors were in really good shape, and they had 23 or so competitors. So, you know, it's a great turnout.
And if you look at the top 10 men, okay, and I read off the list of men, and we're going to go through them in a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll see that every one of those guys is a quality competitor. And you had another 18 or after that. So top 10 people, and that's unusual. Usually you're lucky if you have 3 to 5 good guys in one of these, you know, shows that is not the Arnold or it's not the New York Pro. And so Striker got a good turnout. And I got to tell you, Troy Alves supremely improved from what he looked like at Hartford, Connecticut, where you knew he wasn't going to be 100%. He kind of jumped in the last minute. He beat a lineup of actually decent named guys, but no one was in shape.
Yeah.
Comes back here and has to really battle tremendously. You and I are not sure he's even going to win this show.
Yeah.
After prejudging, he wasn't winning. He redeems himself at night, obviously, and gets the win. As his coach, were you happy with what you saw Troy Alves bring to the stage?
Yeah, you know, I was pretty happy. You know, as somebody who works with bodybuilders, you can never be content, or the people you work with can never improve. So, you know, I tend to see people's flaws more than their strengths. That said, I knew, and we talked about this in the preview, I thought that Troy would have a little bit too much for the field that might just, you know, have him end up in first place. And I based that on the muscle maturity that he has, which he, you know, he does have a lot of detail. His skin is thin. He's got a nice shape and package to him. You know, a lot of times it doesn't show up in pictures, and that's the handicap for people with, you know, great shape, is that the illusion, you have to be here in person to witness it, you know, to see that, you know, all the details versus, you know, something that may come out in, you know, on the web in photos. But, you know, to sum it up, I was happy with the way he looked, and I thought that it was a good decision. Although, you know, when I had heard some rumors after prejudging that he was behind, the first thing out of my mouth was, actually, I saw him in the lobby of the hotel, and he was sunken down in a chair. And Troy, it takes a lot to get Troy Alves down, and he looked down like somebody had killed his dog. And I
said, had heard he was behind.
I said, "Yeah." I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "They had me in second." And I said, "You know, I'm pretty positive, you know, guys." I said, "You know what?
But I'm going to stop you for a second because if he had been in second behind Ed Nunn at that point, I probably wouldn't have been that disappointed. I would have said, okay, it was close."
Yeah.
But he was actually in second place behind Hidetada Yamagishi, who arguably was the worst rendition of Hidetada Yamagishi we had ever seen.
Well, this is the exact reason he was sulking down because I said, you know, I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "No, I'm not." And you know, he was both like he was pissed, you know, and depressed, you know, at the same time. And I said, when he said they had me in second, I said, "You know, you still have time to improve tonight." And
50% of the
switch. Yeah, and I made some type of like comment, you know, "Troy, don't worry, I think you're going to pull it out. I have you in first. I have you, you know, although Ed is good." You know, and then he interrupted me. He said, "No, Ed's not, you know, I think I'm behind Hyde." And I said, "You're out of your mind."
Well, in hindsight, okay, when you look at the scorecards, it actually was a blessing that Hidetada was ahead of him because at night, Troy and Nunn were tied for first. And because Troy had the second place in the morning show and his combined score went over, placed him higher than Nunn and obviously higher than Hidetada. So it actually worked out to his advantage in the long run.
It was a wash.
I have to, you know, question what the judges were looking at when they looked at Hidetada and they had him in first. And all I can think of is that, you know, they were, you know how when we handicap the show before the show occurs, you know, we kind of have who we think is going to be in that top group. If we were not to look at the show and just go with those predictions, that's almost like the way the prejudging went. It was like almost like maybe they didn't take a good enough look and see that he was out of shape. But I think it was apparent. I don't think I heard one person in the theater who thought Hidetada looked good enough to be in that first place slot. Obviously, the judges took a second look, a better look at night. I still don't think he deserved even second place, even third place, which is what he received vote wise for the night show. I personally thought he was out of that top five.
Yeah, I did. I had, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I had Haley ahead of him for sure. And then there were other, you know, Haley, I thought, was ahead of him as well. So, you know, it how it is in bodybuilding. It's a subjective sport and people have their opinions and that's the way it goes. Sometimes, you know, you agree.
Were you nervous? Because I know that back in Atlantic City Pro, it was about 2 years back, Hidetada wound up edging out. He was a much better Hidetada there, as conditioning-wise. He wound up edging out Troy Alves, who was arguably his best.
Yeah, that was...
And I know you were upset about that for quite a while.
Oh, we had that on RX. I was like the rootin' tootin' hootin', you know, like on the not the Beverly Hillbillies, but the...
Bugs Bunny.
You know, I was like, "You got to be kidding me." Anyways, you know, I've been kidding. One of the little inside jokes that, you know, Troy understands my humor.
Yeah. Not many people do. I do also.
Like, one of the things I always do is like, you know, Troy will be posing for me maybe like 3 days before show and I'll say, you know, "You look good." And that will smoke Hyde or something. You know, I bring it up 2 years later.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was a show where, you know.
Did you feel good about the redemption over Hidetada?
Oh, yeah. You know, Troy's on top of the world because I think for Troy, a big accomplishment for him is that since we've been working together for the last couple of years or so, he's won a show and then he won two shows this year. But he's had shows where arguably, you know...
Here's a guy who they said should have retired.
Retired, you know,
and then now he's winning shows. And not only two shows.
People were after his Ironman placing a few years back. People were like demanding, "Troy, you got to hang it up and stop."
Yeah.
And so he's redeemed himself. And not only has he redeemed himself, but he continues to you know, tweak it and improve. So, you know, he's thrilled, and I'm thrilled,
Well, the big T, me,
that's you,
little T, have the last three shows first place competitors.
Yeah, that's right. We have it's almost like
one, and Alves won two.
Is it a monopoly?
I don't know if it's considered not. It's a lucky streak.
It's a temporary.
It's a lucky streak. Yeah. It'll probably be over next week, but that's the way it runs. But let's talk about Ed Nunn.
And they're elderly bodybuilders.
The elderly bodybuilders, right? Over the age of 45. Yeah.
Both grandfathers, I think.
I don't know. Tony could be, for all I know. But Tony hasn't stopped. I don't think Tony's gone over 44 since I met him. So
he might be
a little older. I think Troy, too, says he's 44, right?
Yeah, he says he's 44. I thought Troy was 46.
I think both of them are 46, to tell you the truth. But probably the guy who's the most upset seems to be Ed Nunn. And I don't think he really has very much to be upset about. Number one, because I thought it was the best rendition I'd seen of Nunn.
I agree.
Not as hard as he was in Dallas, but hard enough, given his, you know, given the level of conditioning that they're expecting from him, in my mind, to possibly win this show because he filled out. Now, he does have gaps in his physique. The reason he has gaps in his physique is because his frame is so big. He's got those big cannonball delts. He's got the huge arms, the flaring quads, the crazy glutes and hamstrings, and then he's got that flat chest and the high lats. So, you know, unfortunately, he doesn't flow that well because of that. So he has freakiness to him, but he can be taken apart by someone like a Troy Alves who flows beautifully.
Yeah.
Or a Hita Tata, for that matter, if he's in shape. Yeah. So I think that's where he's looking in the mirror. He's seeing these freaky body parts. He's seeing this incredible conditioning. And he's saying to himself, and I'm sure his trainer Heine is saying to himself, what the freak do we got to do to win a show here?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got to be frustrated. You know, it's a testament in one end to Troy's, you know, physique that I always say, Troy, you know, when you're on, you can dismantle bigger guys. You can't overwhelm them. You can't smoke them, but you can dismantle them just, you know, because you have a lot of strengths. But getting to Ed Nunn, I agree. He's got to be frustrated, but he shouldn't be because, you know, out of a lot of guys who have potential in the sport, I think that his is still unfulfilled because he's absolutely improves all the, you know, he's been improving every year. He's got the big frame and the natural shape to capitalize and, you know, on that.
And he's got as old as Troy and Antonio, so yeah. he can still keep improving. And I think he just has to bring up those body parts and not get insulted when you and I critique him and run away when we ask him to do an interview. You know, that's not going to help his cause. I think that he's a great bodybuilder. He's at that upper echelon, he's maybe 5 pounds away from being a winner, a consistent winner, like a Tony Freeman winner, where he can win shows. And he's just got to keep at it. And I think the third place, at least they gave him third place. I would have had him in second place.
Me too.
But once again, Hita Tata, it was misplaced as far as I was concerned. The person who probably got the rawest deal was poor Marcus Haley. He came in almost 15, he says 15 pounds heavier. I'm saying 5 to 7 pounds heavier. Better conditioning than we saw him in Tampa. Has to settle for fourth here. Bad pill to swallow. He should have been no worse than third place here tonight.
Yeah, no, he was easy. He had a, you know, he was easy to get excited about because it's great to see somebody who's a good guy too.
Yes.
Who improves. And it's hard to improve. I mean, it's hard to add 1 or 2 pounds of muscle. It's hard to drop 2 pounds of fat and keep what you got and improve over the last show. And he did both. He got leaner and he got bigger. And I think it added or enhanced. I mean, this is the best look that I've seen him have. So sometimes I've seen him and I've thought the shape's a little bit awkward. You know, he doesn't have the flow, even though he's a, you know, excellent bodybuilder. And here, I thought, by adding the muscle that he added to his body, he added it in the right spots. And
what a routine he did too!
Oh, his routine's off the charts, chart breaking.
Yeah,
and you know, I knew based on the calls, and I think I said this in the play by play, is this guy's going to be pissed, and I said that meaning, and he has the right to, because he's the odd man out. Yeah. You know, he didn't get the calls that he could have got that could have placed him higher.
And when you saw him at the gym today, freakiest guy in a tank top, right?
Oh, yeah.
Captain Troy walked in. Troy obviously still had that crazy, freaky conditioning, but Marcus is just like billowing muscle.
He
just looked super impressive. Probably the surprise was a lot of people didn't expect this. Alfonso Del Rio in fifth place, a very massive guy, a lot of muscle, not put together that well in terms of shape. I didn't think he was that well conditioned from behind. Maybe better at night than he was during the day. I'm not really sure where that came from. I would have rather seen Jeff Long, who finished in second, or Pietrzykowicz from Poland, could have been up there. I could have even seen the Liberatore or Alvisi in that spot. And I don't know where he came from, to tell you the truth. What's your assessment of him? What does he need to do to improve, or has he maxed his physique out?
You know, I think to improve, he'd have to bring in, you know, to something different, which in this case, different because he's already big, would be, you know, tremendous conditioning.
Which I thought was not tremendously conditioned.
No, he was improved for him condition-wise, but, you know, he's been in some good condition before.
He was really freaking big in condition.
You know, he didn't place top five there in that type of condition, and here he is in less condition here. beating, you know, Jeff Long and Petrikovitz.
And we got to let, you know, just to, not to stop you, but Jeff Long really deserves probably most improved bodybuilder because he really got no love from anyone. I mean, you and I are probably the only people who really talked about him. The guy brought a level of conditioning in that I hadn't seen since he turned pro at Nationals. He's got a ton of muscle. He's a short guy. He's only about 5'7".
Yeah.
And he packs 225 pounds of muscle on his frame. If he has another, you know, 5 to 7 pounds, he's winning shows in my mind.
Yeah, no, I agree.
He's young. He's only 28 years old.
Yeah, he looks about 17.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, at 20, you say, I mean, you say 28. I didn't even think he was past 22.
Yeah, the Jay Cutler haircut.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and he improved for the last show that he was in. I think he was in Hartford. And was it Dallas or Hartford? One of those two he was in.
Both.
Yeah, and he improved a lot here. He's probably the most improved bodybuilder this year that I've seen. And I definitely would have had him in the fifth slot just based on, one, I think that's where he belonged. And then two, I mean, you just got to give him some type of brownie point, some type of extra for the big improvement that he's made, because I don't think anyone, you know, he's been written off. And same thing in the play-by-play. I was excited for him because, you know, it's hard to improve, and it's exciting when somebody improves.
I agree, and you know what? Like I said, I shook his hand. I went up to him. I think he really appreciated the fact that I complimented and acknowledged that he looked as good as he did, because I don't think many people were even talking to him.
But let's give him right now the RX Muscle most improved bodybuilder.
I go along with that.
You know, the year award.
Jeff, stick with it, because you know what? You're on the right track now. And like I said, you're young and you're still maturing muscle-wise, and you got what it takes. He kind of reminds me of a shorter version of a Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
You get those big, freaky, flary quads. Yeah. He's got a small waist than Jay probably does.
Yeah, he's got a lot of back detail.
And he's got a tremendous, huge back.
Yeah.
He's got everything that the judges like. That big back, small waist, big, flary quads. It's just a matter of getting... He doesn't have that graininess yet, and when he gets that, he's going to be dangerous. I'm telling you, this is a guy who can win shows. He really has no weaknesses. What would you say is a weakness in his body?
I don't think he really has
muscle
any weaknesses. Maybe on the he could be fuller in the pecs, maybe. That's about it.
And you being super critical,
of course,
for a guy who's not placing top five, we're talking about a guy who really doesn't have many weaknesses, except maybe, like I said, some muscle maturity, and that's also because he just hasn't been training that long. Let's talk about Robert Petrikovic, who is from Poland. Looks like a bulldog to me on stage. He's got those big temporalis muscles. He had packs like that. Most muscular shot is a very powerful shot, very good. Not the best shape, a little blocky at the waist. We mentioned it in the wrap-up yesterday. I said that I think Petrikovic has to come in with a level of conditioning that's going to supersede anyone else on stage if he's going to beat guys that are shaped better than he is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. And he's brought that condition in the past before, and I think he's struggling to find out, you know, what the solution is for him to place higher. And I think you just nailed it right on the head. I mean, that is the answer. He's got to be, like, peeled inside out to be able to hide some of the structure issues that he has. And, you know, I'm looking at this, the placings again here and, reviewing it right now in my head, and I clearly had Jeff. Although Robert was great, I had Jeff ahead of him for sure.
I had Jeff in that fifth spot.
Yeah, I did.
I would probably have Petrikovic in the sixth spot where he was, and I'd probably have Del Rio way further down.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Abbas Khatami finished in eighth, which I was surprised, you know. While he looked great from behind with the striated glutes and hamstrings, I thought from the front he was a little shallow. And I thought that Michael Liberatore definitely should have been up in there ahead of him, probably in that seventh or eighth spot with Alvisi right behind him. I thought that Liberatore did present a better physique than Alvisi did, but I thought Alvisi was a lot better than he was in Dallas.
Yeah, he was much better.
You know, they rewarded him in Dallas for being less than his best, and then he's better here and he doesn't do as well. So there was no consistency as far as Alvisi goes, and I think Alvisi was just as perturbed, you know. And then you always hear the Gaspari rumors that Hajid Atada did great because of Gaspari, which I don't believe for a second, because Mark Alvisi is a Gaspari athlete, and you would expect him to be up there. If they're going to reward a Gaspari athlete, it would reward one of them who's in shape. So I think that Hajid Atada's name carried him a little bit beyond what it should have, kind of what happened when Jay should have lost to Victor that year at the Olympia,
and I think
it pushed him through because of who he was, and that's what happened. So I give my... I'm going to say right out on the air here, Mark and Alesi, don't stop. I think that you've made a lot of improvements, I said, but you have to bring in a level of conditioning that's far superior than everyone else's. Otherwise, you're not going to get judged, you know, to your full potential. And I think these judges have seen a level of conditioning, and now they're expecting that every time.
Yeah, no, because he's got all the tools, you know, and I don't think he's – I'm not sure. I don't think he's been training years and years like – you know, I mean, Torrey's got, you know, years of training behind him. Marcus Haley's got years and years of training behind him.
So
there's a reason why some of these guys look crazy dense.
Lund's been training for a long time.
Yeah, so – you know, just stick with it.
That's your top 10. That's a very good top 10.
Excellent.
We just talked about. We usually don't have to go 10 deep because
we don't
have 10 guys to talk about. And so excellent, excellent men's lineup. The figure lineup I was super impressed with as well. Candace Kane, I don't even know how many pro wins this year. I think she's got three now. She brought the best level of conditioning I've seen from her in there, dominated this field. Is going to go to the Olympia on a high note in front of her family here. It's funny, you and I mentioned Troy Olive and Candace Keene, both from
hometown
of Phoenix,
hometown.
Arizona. So they both had their family here. That's a nice win in their belt. Jamie DiBernard placed a second. Aaliyah Suarez, who switched from pro bikini to pro figure, places third. Those three girls going to the Olympia qualified. Congratulations to them. In the bikini, our muscle girls co-host, the two of them, Diana Dahlgren, Weiss is first, Christina Voynich second, both qualified for the Olympia. I mean, can't get much better than that, huh?
That is unbelievable. It'd be like having, you know, next who are we going to have? Alvin.
It would be like if you were my one to show. Yeah, if I came in first, you second.
I was going to say Alvin Hyde.
That's right.
As RX Muscle, you know, co-host from now on out.
Yeah, no one could do a better job than you and I can, that's for sure, though, right? Now, it would be like if Aaron Singerman won, you know, first, and then, you know, I was, you know, second and you were third, because Aaron would be a star,
I was
right?
thinking about Aaron getting his pro card in that men's, you know,
physique.
Men's physique, and, you know.
Well, you know, I forgot to bring up something else. Another part of the event that took place at the Bros vs. Pros, Pete the intern, who has been working his ass off the whole weekend and is one of the pastiest, whitest, palest complexion guys, he makes you look like you got a good tan.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
You're a skin cancer survivor.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we had a sponsor, Marilyn from Liquid Sunrays, sponsored all the Bros vs. Pros events for the rest of the year. So I said, look, if you can get Pete the intern dark, I said, with spray tanning, with one coat, you'll sell, everyone will hire you, basically.
Yeah.
Everyone. There won't be anyone who won't hire you, because Pete is the whitest guy you've ever seen. And when they spray tanned him, when these people see this video of how dark he got from one single light coat of it, and you can see the discrepancy from his butt, where he was covered with his underwear.
Yeah, his line.
From the tan line is the most amazing, speaks for itself, selling point of Liquid Sunrays that I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, well, it looks like, I mean, the distinction between white and brown is, it looks like it was painted. Well, it was spray painted on.
Yeah, but I'm saying it looks
real.
Fake. It looks like,
I mean,
you
the tan. The tan looks 100% real.
Excellent. And you know what? It darkened when he left the theater. We should have taken more pictures of him when he got back.
He's
to the
loving
hotel.
It. He's loving
oh,
it.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah.
I think that you said he snuck out of the room before, right?
Yeah.
I bet he was down at the bar, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
He's barely able to drink. He's 21 years old.
I hope his parents.
he hooked up with a couple of girls. I don't know. You never know. Let's talk about the bikini. So Diana Dahlgren and Christina Voynich, 1-2, going to the Olympia, and Christina Vargas, who is a pro figure competitor, who switched to bikini. So there's another switch. Qualifies for the Olympia as well. So very, very interesting show. A lot of excitement there. It was a very exciting weekend, and I'm actually glad that I was here in Phoenix, Arizona, in the 115-degree weather, rather than back in New York having to evacuate. Can you imagine if I was in New York, I would have had to go to my dad's house.
Oh my
and I would have
God.
Had to stay with my dad for the whole weekend. He would have driven me absolutely out of my mind. He's been driving me out of my mind. I'm not even there.
You would have enough material for the next half decade.
Yeah, at least.
He
actually called me up and I said, Dad, how is it going there? You know, expecting him to say, oh, the hurricane wasn't bad. We didn't have any damage. She's like, my back hurts. This hurts. Yeah, he goes, did you get me? Did you finish proofreading the novel you're supposed to be doing for me? I'm like, Dad, do you know where I am? He's like, you're in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And I almost fell off my chair because he actually remembered where I was. I only told him 15 times already. And he's like, well, when are you coming over? I said, well, I'm still in Phoenix. He's like,
he knows you work a 22-hour day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I think he does. So my dad survived the hurricane. He refused to evacuate, okay? And he was smart because, you know what? The stupid hurricane, as we talked about earlier, became a tropical storm, and he's not in the low-lying area anyway. So I'm very glad that I was here in Vegas this weekend. It was a lot of excitement. Thank you to Striker Solomon for the Phoenix Pro. Thank you to Hooters for the eating competition. And thank you, of course, to Josh Barnett, the owner of Metroflex in Phoenix. If you guys want a real hardcore gym in the Phoenix area, check out Metroflex. I think it's gonna really make a mark in this area, because I don't think they have any really hardcore gyms in this vicinity, at least.
No, I told Troy, you know, I'd go down there and get a membership, or, you know,
Troy should start training legs with those guys.
That's what I said. I said, because it's you know that this is a hardcore gym.
Troy looks like he trains at like a real
ballet
gym.
Ballet. Oh yeah, well, he's the mayor. You know, because when you're with Troy, you know how he's personable.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, he walks through the gym door. You can't just walk in and hit it. It's like,
especially now,
it's like
the
old
show.
Ladies. Oh yeah, even the old ladies gotta say, yeah, Troy, yeah, blah, 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 and you know,
everyone knows who he is.
That's
right. Well, look, Chris, thank you for coming out here and spending the whole weekend with us. The coverage was great. I know all the RX Muscle community had a great time. Our play-by-play thread was mobbed this whole weekend. Yeah. I guess people were stuck in the house for the hurricane, so they were looking at RX Muscle for some up-to-date minute stuff to keep them busy. They get to watch the wing eating contest. They got to watch all the coverage. And I'm still putting up videos from the weekend.
Yeah,
and, of course, PC Intern is editing the Bros vs. Pros 8 video. Remember, Bros vs. Pros 9 will be in Chicago in December. And we're already, I think we're going to do a deadlift there. We're going to do another two-event medley, probably a deadlift and a curl. And
Derek Farnsworth is,
yes,
he's committed.
He said he committed.
Yeah. And
I got a ringer in there who might beat Farnsworth.
You're kidding me.
And it's a girl, too.
Oh,
so.
My goodness. You know what? You want to get him charged up?
Him.
No, tell him.
Oh, I should?
Well, you give him a goal.
Amanda Harris, Barbie Barbell. She's, I think, 19 or 20 years old. 19 years old or 20 years old. She says no one will beat her. She's got some of the craziest strength I've ever seen.
Wow, that could, you know what? That would be an embarrassment for Derek.
And I'm looking at her triple over the head. She's saying that once she's eating, she's going to destroy everyone, too. So don't count her out as well. For now, though, we are out of time. Chris, I'd like to thank none of our guests for stopping by, because we had none tonight. Until next week, though, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.